Hey everybody, do you have a trailer sitting around that only gets used a few times a year for track events or chores or home center runs or whatever? You can rent out your open, enclosed car hauler, dump trailer, travel trailer, etc. when you're not using it on towlos.com, TOWLOS.com. If you currently street drive your track, autocross, or drift car to events and need a trailer to travel further, make sure to check out towlos.com. Find car hauler trailers available near you. They're building up their inventory. And maybe you can add to it or use it. Don't feel the need to purchase a $5,000 or more trailer when you can rent one for $100 a day or less on Towlos. Let your trailer collect money, not dust. Towlos is an online trailer sharing marketplace. Stoked to help build that marketplace, and maybe you can contribute or use a trailer soon.
Welcome to a new segment of the Slip Angle Podcast. Today we're on the line with Rob Fields and, of course, Adam Jabe, and what we're going to be talking about are things that make your life difficult when you're going to the track. And so the segment is going to be recurring, and it's going to be called Why Is My Life So Hard with Adam Jabe and Rob Fields.
I think the first reason is why is my life so hard is that we chose the hobby that might be one of the harder hobbies. And Rob chose it professionally.
I really did.
So maybe the first reason for why Rob's life is so hard is you chose to work in cars, but
I chose this. Yeah. I had the no chance of escaping it gene, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. The whirlpool was already swirling when Rob jumped in as a babe.
so funny story. My mom was flagging at Mid-Ohio while 8 months pregnant with me. So I was at Mid-Ohio before I was born.
Probably the first thing you kicked was like the handrail of like an unpainted steward's box and then long ago.
Probably
got tetanus.
We're going there in a few weeks. Yeah, probably got bit by a rat, kicked a splintery handrail in a place, middle of Ohio where somebody waves a flag. A lot of bad things over there, but great racetrack.
It is a great racetrack. They redid some of it now, but anyway.
I'm looking forward to feeling a few of the new surfaces and throwing a little bit of a mini festival there. It should be fun. So, I have one topic, Rob. Topic number one, off the top of my head, is tools. You have a lot of tools. I've stolen a few from you at racetracks. Do you have a tool prep strategy for events, supporting cars and working on cars and, being the bigger rig, you get asked about tools, I'm sure. So.
Oh, absolutely. I think the overall strategy, so to speak, is we have kind of a master set of tools that go with us, kind of independent of what car, what equipment, whatever's going. And then we try to prep car specific tool sets. So we have bins that are, all right, the Sunday Cup Mini is going, and we know, it's this size axle nut and these kind of fasteners and this type of whatever. So along with the parts we throw in, for spares and whatnot, we have car specific tool sets that go with us.
That's a great idea. I like that idea.
Well, when you have one car or one platform to support, your master set and your car specific set are kind of the same. In that little bit more unique position of, we've got a mix of German, American, Japanese, all kinds of different cars that we're taking to the track and supporting, and we have to prepare for all of them. And then separate from that, I think the other part of the strategy, so to speak, is we tend towards generally speaking spending a little bit more upfront for a little bit nicer tool, get the longevity out of it. It's one thing when you're in the shop at home and you break a cheap tool and go, oh no, all right, well, I'm done for the night. I got to go pick up another one of these tomorrow kind of thing. It's a whole other ball game when you're at the side of the racetrack or on the side of the highway or whatever the case may be. And the penalty for that is much higher.
So when you talk,
I imagine
about
the penalty feels even higher too when somebody's paying you to work on your car. So.
Oh yeah.
So when you're talking about car specific tools and you mentioned the fit specifically, like what's in that toolkit?
So it depends on the mini. Yeah, it depends a little bit on the prep level of the car as well, right? So like the Mini being a Sunday Cup car, it does not have a lot of custom performance parts on it. I shouldn't even say custom. It really doesn't even have that many performance parts on it. So really,
it's like coilovers, right?
Right. Yeah. And yeah, coilovers and the exhaust and obviously the roll cage and all that stuff. But so from a tool perspective, that's really, you know, we prep the same way we would think about just being able to service the factory car. And so that one's a pretty short list. You know, the long lists start when you get into cars that have really extensive levels of prep.
Like Colton's LS7 E46 wide body GLTC car probably has some things.
Yeah, it's got a few. One or two.
Does that have like some custom tools? Like, oh, the number force header bolt needs the cutoff half inch wrench kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of that kind of stuff where it's shop made tools.
Bend up a few wrenches to make things easier kind of thing.
Yeah. Exactly. The one that just sticks out in my mind the most there is that car has an oil priming gear on the oil filter reservoir.
It's like a Peterson setup with like a weird little hex thing.
Yeah, super trick, real easy. You know, if you haven't started the car in a while, you just put a drill, not an impact, a drill on that and spin it up, get some oil pressure before you fire the car up. But we have a socket and universal that are designated just for that go in the tool bin for that car. So you can't be without it kind of thing.
Right.
But, and then when we get into like our Cardinals and Sours and stuff like that, those cars use a lot of circle track stuff, thread end ball joints and stuff like that. And those all have custom sockets that the manufacturer provides.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, maybe the last question that I have on the topic is, what is something that you always pack that you never need?
That's a great question. Every time we've packed a welder, we haven't needed it. And a few times when we haven't packed it, we did.
Yeah, that's one thing. What's the weirdest thing you've been asked about? Like, do you have this or that? I guess somebody asked you for a really dumb tool.
That's a great question. I think, I want to say yes, but I also think every time that somebody's asked us for something obscure, we had it for some reason. So,
I'm trying to think of the weirdest thing that somebody has like came up to our like pit office and been like, can you ask if anybody over the PA, if anybody has a this, and there's a thing, but I can't remember what it is.
The one that like will stick out in my mind is somebody asked us if we had a fender roller and we did. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's asked me about a fender roller many times. There's like a special tool for some BMW thing that I've been asked about multiple times. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is, but I've heard of it and I have to Google it. And then I ask about it over the PA or something, but I forget what it is now. Maybe it's a Honda thing. I don't know. But there's a lot of specialty tools out there. Specialty stuff is a problem.
I think it was at a festival this year where someone asked for like a really specialized like Miata BP head. It had to be freshly machined and decked or something like that. And they were like,
somewhere. Yeah. I think, and I want to say we have definitely made more than one like a friend and like a sale of a head because somebody had the weird thing or like the full engine or the transmission. I bet you we've sold $50,000 in parts over the PA just because people bring everything to a racetrack. Somebody's got it somewhere at a big event. So There's been we've made a lot of new friends. We've made a lot of new friends with parts swaps and tool exchanges. So, well, I think that was a pretty good first one. Why is our life hard? Because we are working on race cars, and you got to bring everything with. And if you didn't bring it, Rob brought it. So.
I love it.
Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
We're at West Michigan Honda Meet 2023, our 23rd year of West Michigan Honda Meet.
Jeez.
That's a long time, dude.
That is a long time.
I'm here with my King of England, F, the new guy. How many years has it been since you were in the U.S.?
2019 was the last year, yeah.
So Richard Simmons, our buddy, he was on the show a long time ago.
18, 19.
And you also do the outro.
Yeah,
probably do a new still, one of those because yeah, Derek's into dirt bikes now.
This is true.
So,
I'll do one more.
So our buddy Richard Simmons, how did you become friends with us?
You liked a picture of my roll cage on Instagram.
Really?
Yeah.
Like in 2015?
Yeah, it? Something crazy like that.
And we started texting on, it was my toolbox, started texting on Instagram, I think,
yep.
And then freaking Facebook Messenger or something.
Well, you liked my roll cage from the Slip Angle show page.
Okay,
gotcha. And then I was like, what is this all about?
Okay, and then you started listening to our terrible show.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then I think I texted you about doing weird alignment with string.
Yeah.
Because we were struggling with something.
I think I wrote an article and you talked to me about that.
Yeah, might have been actually. Yeah.
And today I fumbled around with alignments for what? We took the wheel off 10 times?
Yeah, probably.
Air decks for the win today.
Yeah. Fancy boy things.
So super glad to have you back here, bud.
Thanks, man.
One of my favorite people to hang out at the racetrack with.
It's great to come back, to be honest. I have missed it.
You said Honda Meet is your favorite event.
Absolutely.
Why?
Vibes.
Yeah, it's
just chill.
Yeah, we gotta knock this podcast out so you can go hang out with all your friends. You've
oh,
missed
that's
before.
Good. I got all night and all weekend.
It's Friday night. You're here till Wednesday.
Yep.
What's going on with cars in England in your world? What are you doing nowadays? You changed jobs around a little bit.
A little bit. The machinist stuff I'm still doing and car building, but more as a second job.
Right.
And now I do RMOT testing, which is a vehicle inspection.
Yeah. Some states here have it. Some don't.
I'm sure you said last time it was sort of like a ODB check and off you go in
some
places.
We basically just get a sniffer test, or they stop doing sniffers on the tailpipe. They just plug into the OBD2.
Yeah,
my car was one of the last cars in Illinois to get an emissions test that wasn't OBD2 because I had moved my registration to Michigan when I was in college in 2001, and I had moved it there after I got my first notice for emissions, and then I moved it back like 4 years later. And they were like, oh, shit, we got to have this dude check. And it was a turbo F23 with a 3.5-inch exhaust and no cat.
So rip it super hard
just,
to get
like,
it hot.
Drove up and down the street at like 6,000 RPMs until the garage was open and there was nobody waiting. Drove straight in.
Jump the queue.
And then, like, joy of all joy. This is when they used to put cars on a dyno.
Oh, wow.
They would, like, put you on a roller but not strap you down. They would just put wheel chocks. It was the sketchiest thing. And they could never drive stick. They damaged my brother-in-law's car.
Oh, damn.
And then they stopped doing lowered cars, and so they just did an idle test. And I cranked up the fan and the freaking
everything
headlights.
On.
And it passed. So, that was a long time ago. Now they just do OBD2 scanners, but... What's the inspection over in England entail? And is that like a countrywide thing?
Yep, that's every car over 3 years old.
Every car?
Yeah.
Over 3 years old?
Yeah.
Cars that are 3 years old are like nice cars still.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised. It's everything, the whole car you go through, seat belt, seat installation, suspension play.
Really?
Brake roller check for brake efficiency and balance.
Okay.
Emissions test. Unless it's a hybrid.
Right.
You don't have to emissions
unless
test
hybrids. Unless it's a hybrid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the engines on their own are so bad at emissions, they don't want anyone to know because they're all low compression. When the electric kicks in and the motor kicks in and out, if it was really high compression, it'd kick hard and you'd notice it.
Oh, that makes
so
some sense.
They're all terrible.
It's really?
All a con, yeah.
Really? That's weird.
Yeah.
I guess the overall efficiency is okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah. In total, it is, but if you actually measure what comes out the tailpipe, it would fail every time.
Because the compression's so low on this?
Yeah.
Really?
They have terrible burn.
I've never heard that.
Because we test for CO2 and nitrogen oxides.
Yes, NOx.
So the nitrogen oxides.
How do you guys test? With an actual... Like,
tailpipe sniffer and then ODB for the RPM. Right. And if no ODB socket because it's old.
Man, you and Colin keep saying ODB.
OBD.
At least I keep hearing
it. It's because you jinxed me with it earlier.
Colin said it over the PA.
Yeah. And then tailpipe sniff.
Okay.
And then it does a fast idle test.
Right.
And like a standard normal idle test.
So you test, you have to check every car. Like, what if it's a 1923 something?
They're technically MOT exempt after, I think it was 25 years. Okay. But they keep changing the date on that.
So it's like a rolling date.
Yeah.
Okay. How long does it take a car?
About 45 minutes.
Oh, so it's an invasive. Average.
Yeah. It is literally every seat belt.
Wow.
Doors have to open, fuel cap has to open, boot has to open.
Yeah.
Structural rigidity check for rust, etc.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy cow. And is this at like a shop that also does work?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But you're just checking cars all day.
Oh, that's all I do. Wow. This is a bit of a lie. I also order all the parts, book in all the work.
Okay.
Do all.
But you're checking cars a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. 45 minutes a car.
Yeah, you get like 7 or 8 a day sometimes.
That's insane. That's wild. Well, I guess that's how you get good cars. You don't have a bunch of clapped out shit boxes like Chicago.
Yeah.
The other day, I saw a car driving through Chicago, and it didn't look like it rolled anymore because it had like 2 spare tires, one on the left, one on the right, front and back.
Oh, no.
So it was like tipping because the other cross, it was like 3 inches taller.
On the 2 normal ones.
And the like every panel was shot. It was just smashing everything. And the alignment was so bad, you could hear it howl as it went down the road. It was like, it was going like about 50, and it looked like it was struggling, dude. It was bad.
I was going to say, I've seen some fairly terrible cars.
What's the worst thing that you can pass? What are you allowed to pass?
There's a bit of discretion on it. So it kind of depends. But
okay.
If it's dangerous for the road, it's dangerous for the road. But there's like advisories for things that have got, if you had a little bit of play in your ball joint, right. I'd advise it, and then that lets you know that before next year you're probably going to want to have it looked at.
Interesting.
So it's not like being really harsh. You've got to be fair too.
Does it cost a bunch of money to have somebody do it? Like, do they pay you a bunch?
Oh, £56 something is
so they're paying an hourly wage.
Yeah, there's like a government set maximum price, but you could charge less if you want to just get the work in.
Right.
A lot of like big places, like I don't know what you have for tire garages or
like Pep Boys
or something like that. Yeah, they'll probably do them at like £30,
okay.
But then fail you on £200 worth of work.
Right, they're gonna say, "Well, you got to have your blinker fluid's low, so you got to top that shit off." And,
pretty much
your exhaust fluid. I mean, it's definitely cooked.
We've had some really good cars in though as well. So
you've sent me pictures of like really old stuff.
Yeah.
And
did I send you the Lotus Carlton we had in?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was rad.
Freaking cool, man.
Yeah.
I've never even seen one of those in real life. It's like a 4-door, like square old looking Lotus thing.
I don't know what you. It's a Vauxhall Carlton that Lotus re-engineered when
they were
friends with Vauxhall.
We never had anything like that.
No, I think that was different. I think it was GM then, but not
GM owned Vauxhall.
Yeah, but not crossed over so much as they do now for things.
Is the engine like a production item or is it?
It's special to the car.
Like everything?
Yeah, new block because it's a bigger capacity, both 600 cc's, different crank. It come with Mally rods and piston standard.
Right.
Lotus did all the things, twin turbo, charge cooled. It's
360
something horsepower.
In like the 90s?
Yeah. 92, that one was.
Look at this Honda Fit on this trailer. What the heck is going on right there?
That's too big a trailer to say
what's
with a Honda Fit.
Too?
Coolers and tires by the looks of it.
Yeah, that's a big trailer for the Honda Fit.
It's as big as the Fit. Look.
Did you see that MR2 pulling that trailer? It was like the trailer was 2 feet longer than the MR2.
Yeah, there's laws against that.
This is such a different scene than grid life. It makes me like so happy to be here.
It's chill.
It is very chill.
From grid life looks like it's got fairly serious the last few years.
And the parties have gotten pretty serious too.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll kill you.
Would be in my heart.
It'll actually, yeah. You got like childhood heart surgery things and you take medications. The party just didn't stop all night.
Oh,
like,
wow.
There was 16 parties happening somewhere like when we were like started the track.
How did you create this monster?
I don't know how that happens. Like, people just want to have a good time with your friends.
Yeah.
It was a really nice crowd, too. It was the nicest crowd.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, they were the best crowd I think we've ever had, and the biggest, too. But were you at one Midwest festival?
I've been to 3 Midwest
three?
Festivals. The first trip over was just for Midwest in 17.
That long ago?
Yeah. Then I did 18. I stayed at yours.
Yep.
For the summer.
19, you were here
19,
off and on.
I came to Mid-Ohio for the first event.
Yeah.
And then Midwest.
Mid-Ohio was April. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I didn't make it back And then COVID happened and the whole of my life turned upside down.
Yeah, so you weren't here for the last Atlanta.
No. No,
you drove
that
back
one.
In my old RV when the AC quit, yeah. And we wanted to die.
I think bad. I did die.
You were the most miserable person I've ever seen.
I was so tired.
You're also the most miserable person I've ever seen when you came back from Mid-Ohio and had to drive a car to O'Hare.
I was so destroyed.
You were the tiredest person I've ever seen.
I didn't sleep the whole weekend. I got off a plane, came to your house, went straight to the racetrack.
That was a mad weekend.
Teched 1,000 cars.
I don't know how you did all that.
Then went straight back to Chicago. I didn't sleep in the trailer because things.
You were so tired.
I think I had about 2 hours sleep the whole weekend. Yeah. And then I had to do another 8-hour flight on the way home.
Did you sleep on the plane home? No?
I can't sleep on planes or in cars. It's weird.
How long is the flight?
Eight-ish hours.
Is it the same both directions?
No, it's quicker on the way back by about 3/4 of an hour because Gulfstream winds
the
winds. Things. Yeah.
What are you working on car-wise in your life right now? Because that was the thing that we originally bonded on. I was like, hey, you like stupid cars too.
Yeah. I've still got a bunch of crappy Hondas.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have talked a bunch about them. But,
I've got my EK sort of race car, track car.
Yeah, full cage. Yeah. All that.
Which is now going to be K-Series.
You're for sure doing it?
I've got one.
Didn't you have a super low mileage K-Series?
Yeah.
That's the one you're putting in? It like came out of a crash car?
400 miles, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a Z4.
That's
like
worth so much money here nowadays.
The same as my Type R.
Yeah, they've gone up a lot. And you have the Type R that we never got. Which gen is that? Or what year?
Gen? It's 07. Or 08.
It's got like fit suspension underneath.
Kind of,
right?
Yeah. It's got like a beam back axle and McPherson on the front instead of the good stuff.
And a K20?
Yeah, K20 Z4.
It's a cool looking car.
Yeah, it's like the Space Shuttle Civic.
They're like little hatchbacky things.
Yeah. Nope. It's just a bigger fit, really.
I remember like lusting for those.
It's on the picture in your garage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember lusting for those when we didn't have them.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a Type R Civic ever. Like, we never had one until we got the FK.
Oh, wow.
We only had the Civic SI, which was like the 99-2000s, twin cam. Before that, the only twin cam Civic Sorta was the Del Sol, came with the B16.
Okay.
We had that B16.
Did you get EGs then?
We didn't get B16s with EGs, no. The first B16 here, I mean, we got GSRs and stuff, which came 1.8s. But B16s came first here in the Del Sol for like 2 years. And that was an Obedi 1 Del Sol.
Didn't you get B17s as well?
Yes, in Integras. Second gen here, which would be 90 to 93.
Oh, well, yeah, because we didn't see any of the B17 engines.
You never got those?
No.
That's a weird... Like, kind of a unicorn engine nowadays.
Yeah. What do they stroke it or bore it?
I think it's a stroked B16.
Right.
The B16, it's not like the Civic Type R EK, which was a destroked B18.
Yeah.
That was a B16B.
Yeah.
Like, you could, like, rev to 10K. I think it was just a stroked out B16, basically. But whose car is this? There's so many EFs here right now.
That's not
a good looking EF, man.
That's clean.
We've seen it before, but I don't know who that is.
I thought it might have been one of the Rambo crew had a similar color.
It looks
car.
Like Mikey's car was that color originally
before they wrapped it.
Yep. I don't know what that car's just like in the trailer.
Like, he still got it.
Yeah, he's still got it. I think it's in one piece too. I appreciate your help today with my car.
Oh, that's all right.
That was fun.
We have aligned it a few times now.
The coolant thing is, it's not overheating, but when you come in, it like bubbles over, which is weird.
Yeah, I think you got an airlock.
But it's freaking running great.
There's no signs of head gasket failure that I can
except for it
notice.
Weeps out the sides of it. But.
Well, yeah, but that's not a coolant. That's a standard Honda oil falls out of it.
I'm so stoked on the suspension right now.
Yeah.
I came in the last time I was out there, I came in because twice in one lap, I'm pushing on the gas and I couldn't pull back because my boots had like wedged against the. I'm in my stupid boots.
I was going to say,
they wedged against the floor
box.
And the. Yeah, it was not good. Hey, man, it's my buddy's old car. You remember me and my buddy Dave, right?
Yeah.
His brother built that thing.
EM1s.
Yeah.
His
brother built that thing one of the cars that made me want to get in cars. Into cars.
It's like full fast
EF,
interiors.
Yeah, an EF, white bottom, like a...
An orangey
tangerine top, and like him and his uncle painted all the graphics.
Oh, that's...
Like perfect paint.
Wow.
It was an auto when he had it, and then he sold it. He did it when I was in high school, so that's a 99 build, probably.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and this dude just randomly showed up to Honda Meet 1 year, and he's just been coming back ever since.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever driven Honda Meet, just comes to hang out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He says fuck a lot. He's a really fun guy to hang out with. I mean, he's great. Yeah. Super fun guy. He says fuck in front of his kids a lot, though.
Oh. That's a bit much. Even I try not to swear in front of kids too much.
Yeah, there's a certain age. But.
Yeah. Some, well, when they get to a certain age, you got to swear at them.
Yeah. You were restoring an EG for a while.
I'm now restoring another EG.
What's going on with your EG life? EG is a 92 to 95 Civic.
Yeah. So my first Honda was an EG.
Yeah.
I went to buy Prelude at the Honda dealer and couldn't
like new?
It. No, it was... This was like 2001. Okay. I hadn't long passed my test.
What year would it have been?
It was a 95. So like the last of the thin headlights.
Oh, the best dashboards, too. Yeah. Fucking digital. Great interiors.
Yeah. I really wanted them. Couldn't insure it.
That was the other car that got me into Hondas was my buddy Dave built one of those. So those are great. Hey, Mike. Okay. I got it in here. Okay. Thanks, bud. Good old Gingerman leaving us, letting us run till 9. I love that. They're the best.
Yeah, you don't get any of that in England.
Yeah, 5 to 9 here. What a perfect night, too.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, how's the weather looking for the weekend?
It might rain tomorrow a little bit, but it's probably going to be spotty.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm fairly qualified for rain.
So 90, you get some of that. Those are 92 to 95 prelates.
Yeah, that's it.
You couldn't buy them because you couldn't insure it?
Yeah.
Because it was considered a sports car?
Yeah,
it was just a Civic, though.
Yeah, but it had a 2.2-liter engine and 200 brake. And all
it was an H22?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and most of them were, to be fair.
We hit most of ours here were H23s.
All right, we didn't get hardly any H23s. We've got a lot of F20s. Really? Like we didn't get
anything with
it.
We got
that's where that F20 I was going to send to you came from.
We didn't get any with the F20. Was the F22 the dual cam VTEC that looked like an H22?
We never got that.
I think there's a JDM thing then.
Yeah, we didn't get any of those. A few 2.3s, but barely any. Most of them were H22.
Most of them here were non VTEC H23s.
Yeah, 2 liter. Two liter single cam.
Some of our base models were the non VTEC single cams. Not many of them though. That was a rare motor in that, but it came in tons of Accords.
I still want to find a car to put one of those in, but with the head backwards.
I kind of want. Make it spin the wrong way.
Yeah. Well, no, the engine spins the same way.
I mean, yeah, make the head spin the wrong way. Make it breathe like a K.
Yeah. Like an Accord BTCC car.
Yeah. Just today you mentioned like me putting my F-Series back in my car.
Yeah.
Kind of giving me thoughts again.
I'll ship you an engine.
I think I have another engine.
No, a 2 liter.
That would be really fun.
Revy boy.
Yeah, those are a square motor, I think.
Yeah.
I think they're
under square, actually.
Ooh. That might be good.
Really,
maybe I'll ship you a wing and you ship me a motor. We'll have to see.
I need one after all my crashing.
I do kind of want to do that big block single cam setup again because that was like a really fun setup.
Go straight on it.
I mean, I've got all the ITB stuff for it, so I could make it fire up, just put it on the dyno and tune it and be done. I sorted out the coolant system. I actually had an external, it was like above the trans, was an external thermostat in line that was fed to the side to open the thermostat up. And that worked really well. Sweet. And that eliminated, like, I don't know if you're familiar with, like, the coolant block.
Yeah, on
the thing is enormous.
Yeah.
So, like, I welded a mount to the tube that came off the water pump and basically just put a hose on that into this thing. It worked great, actually. Just, like, put a bung on the end of that steel coolant pipe coming off the water pump. I was surprised how well it worked. It ran around at 170 degrees all day long. But just oiling was stupid with it.
Yeah.
It would starve in every corner, and it didn't make sense why.
No, because you built a hell of a sump for that.
Yeah, I did 3 different oil pans for it. And the last one was like the craziest oil pan I've ever seen, and it's just regular Honda pickup stuff. But
yeah, I can't see it being that much of a problem.
It was like a cavitating. Something was wrong with the oil pump setup.
Yeah.
Anyway, I forgot to keep talking about. I'm really scatterbrained because I just got done driving.
Yeah, everything's crazy.
I forgot to keep talking about restoration Civics.
Yeah, so I bought a 1500 EG.
So that's a 1.5 JDM like D15 BTEC.
No, that was a UK, so that was more like the multi-point D15 no VTEC. Like,
real basic.
Yeah.
Okay. What were you going to do, or what are your plans to do with
that? I had a bunch of like SIR bits, so I had all the climate control, all the like black.
You said the interior stuff is getting insanely, right? Priced.
Yeah, it's terrible now. Everything for them is just... If I didn't have the stuff I've kept all the years...
Yeah, it wouldn't be worth doing.
Totally screwed, but...
What would the car be worth if it was done to the caliber you want?
7 or 8, probably.
So it's almost not. It's almost not possible to restore them right now.
Well, you won't make money doing it.
Yeah,
but you do it because you love them.
Yeah, great cars. So,
yeah, that was cool, and I started doing that and did all the suspension and got everything powder coated and plated all my bolts and started getting ready to put it all together and get the shell done. And then my buddy offered me his EG6 VTI in red.
Yeah,
that's been sat in his garage for 7 or 8 years.
Okay,
for like $2,500.
How's the body?
Needs back arch work, but it's not terrible.
Typical Honda rust.
Yeah.
You guys get similar rust to like Chicago area.
Yeah. Because they salt the roads with something heavy, hideous.
You don't get that much snow, though.
No, we get everything sits sort of about 0 or below for the winter.
0 Celsius.
So we get,
freezing.
So freezing, but people in England, because it doesn't snow very much, also can't drive when it snows.
And it's icy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's always salted.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So if it gets anywhere near freezing, the grit of a lorry's all right and everything's covered.
Yep. What's the plan for that? So you have both shells now.
Yeah.
What's the plan for the new one?
The new one is getting all the work.
Okay.
It's going in. When I get back, the chap who's doing the arches for me is at Le Mans at the minute with a TR4A.
Really?
Yeah.
You sent me a picture of that.
Yeah, that's it, the red one.
Is this like a 72?
67?
I forget when they made the TR4s.
Yeah, it's a 4A.
It's a four-cylinder little sports car thing.
Yeah.
They sold some of those here. There was like some dealers in California and New York.
Yeah, you said SCCA guys get into
that's
them.
The only place I've ever seen them is they've been race cars since then.
Yeah.
Like, they were popular then. And some of them you're like, oh, dude, that thing's been a race car for 50 years. Yeah. But
yeah, no, the chap who's got that, he bought 4 of them. Two TR4s and 2 TR3s.
That's how you know you're a sick person.
He cleared out some guy's barn.
Yeah.
And is basically going to sell the TR3s because he doesn't fit in them very well. He's got a bad leg to fund the 2 TR4s.
Okay.
But it was the 100th anniversary of Triumph.
Really?
So they had a big do at Le Mans the other week. Okay. So before I left.
So your buddy's there.
He drove it.
Yeah.
Fresh out of his shop to us for an MOT and an alignment, and then drove it to France.
Really?
Yeah.
He's like wheeling it there.
Yeah, they drove it.
That's freaking cool, man.
But as soon as he gets back, he's having the car to do the arches. Okay. And I've got.
He's a body guy?
He's a welder by.
Gotcha.
He used to do underwater welding and stuff.
Really?
He's like really clever.
That stuff's wild.
Yeah.
They like building stuff in the ocean.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Welding it's amazing with electricity.
It's amazing what people have figured out, and they probably figured that out 100 years ago.
Absolutely.
Like, it's nuts. How do we make this? But we got to do it under the water. Well,
we'll try it and see. Let's
talk to some people that know some things, and we'll figure out a plan. And we'll wear the diving bell, and they'll pump air down to us, and hope that we don't die.
But, he takes his time with his work, shall we say? So it's going to be there for a while.
Okay.
And he's sort of doing it between things.
So doing rear fender. Arches, whatever you call them.
And a little bit in the scuttle under the windscreen. Windshield.
Right. Windscreen, yeah.
Yeah. But not too bad at all. The sills are fine. Everything else is good.
Yeah.
But as soon as he's had it back, I've got the fun job of wire wheeling off all the seam sealer from underneath.
Oh, no. I'm going to re-seam
seal the whole car and then underseal everything so it lasts longer than
You're going to paint the whole thing and stuff? What's
everything new?
Is it a runner right now?
No, the engine sat in the back at the minute.
Okay,
it's been in my friend Sam's garage for 6 or 7 years or something.
Is that a B16 car?
Yeah, it's a genuine VTI.
Did it come with the engine?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Fresh rebuilt.
Wow.
And
probably worth
fresh
money.
Fresh rebuilt box.
If it's done right, it's worth money.
Yeah.
Even B16s are worth pretty stupid money when they're in good shape.
Yeah, everything's gone wild now.
It's nuts.
Like. Insane.
My old GSR powered CRX, I could probably sell it for 15 G's now. Like
just don't even think about it. Like my old Accord Euro R that I sold for like 7 and it's now worth
20.
Nearly, if I shipped it here, it would be for sure.
So dumb. You can never anticipate this stuff either.
No. And that thing was such a pain because you can't get bits for it.
That was a cool car.
Yeah, it was rad.
Very unique. You had a lot of Mugen parts on it too.
Yeah, had loads of stuff. Airbox, header. All of like the wind deflectors were Mugen sill plates. It had a carbon rear strut bar.
Yep.
Just all of the nice bits, the Volks wheels and stuff. It was I love it. It was the best car I've ever had.
That was a cool look. Yeah. I mean, I never saw it, obviously, but it was a cool looking car too.
Yeah,
like it's not a thing that you see here
or in England much, because our cars, our Accords, were like the British touring car.
Yep,
like Type R Accords, which were a lot more rounded, less sort of square in the front.
Right,
which a buddy of mine's got.
Where did that one come from?
I bought it from a town about 50 miles away.
So they did sell those there.
No, it was imported from Japan.
Oh, okay.
But many years ago, because we haven't got any age restriction rules on the...
Because those are the same things.
Yeah.
Can you import things from anywhere, anytime?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really?
Yeah. You've got to take
Not just right-hand drive stuff?
No. Okay. No, the blood chap I work with, his dad's got a 70-something Corvette, and so's his wife. And did I show you that Chevelle thing we were working on with the big block? Yeah.
It's kind of neat.
It's a bit freer to import stuff, but you have got to jump through some hoops getting it registered.
I bet. Probably. Are you paying a pretty big penny to go through all the registration stuff?
It's not terrible. I don't know how much it is because I haven't done it, to be honest. But you've got to go for a super thorough MOT, and then they go through engine number and bits, I think.
Here, it's...
Make sure it's got a fog light because that's a legal requirement.
Really?
The tyres from Japan aren't any good because they're not E-marked.
Really?
That's weird.
The stuff here is it's just a bunch of registration paperwork. It's got to be 25 years or older.
Yeah.
But there's companies now that specialize in it. But they basically upcharge $4,000 to $5,000 to do it.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So you bring in a $4,000 car, it's like a $6,000 car, $10,000 car, you know. But the market is there, though.
Yeah, if people are going to pay the money, then why not charge
it? If you're bringing in nice old stuff, too, you know, there's JDM Classics, I think, in Virginia that just imports all day long. They got a guy in Japan, they got a guy here, and they just bring him in, fix him up, sell him.
If anybody wants a nice GTR, give us a shout.
You have a nice one?
My buddy does.
32?
33.
Oh, 33, that's right. You told me about that.
97, so it's legal.
Yeah. Illegal here?
I think it's legal, isn't it? 97?
95. Yeah, that would be legal now.
Yeah. Yep.
They're starting to go up in value
like 40,
here, too.
40,000 miles.
You don't see a lot of R33s in yet.
No. But this one's weird because it's a UK official import through Nissan.
Isn't it some rare spec too?
Yeah.
What is it?
The UK spec.
UK spec.
Yeah. So Middlehurst Motorsport, who did all of the GTR racing stuff.
Because they didn't sell GTRs by you?
No.
Okay.
They imported, to start with, I think it was 36 or something, but the numbers are a little bit sketchy.
Okay.
To prove the market.
Yep.
Modified a few of them, sent them out the door, and then imported 100 brand new ones.
Right.
And sold them too. This was one of the 36 used approved original cars.
So it came in the 90s?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
rough. I think 98 or 99 sales ticket was for.
What is that car worth in England now?
I don't know is the honest answer.
Yeah.
But
probably too much.
Yeah, way too much.
Way too much.
Way too much to have sat in the workshop with that Lotus Carlton and all the other bits.
And didn't you guys just go through it too?
Yeah,
just sat for someone?
Redid the engine.
Yeah.
Well, to start with, it went and had a Link ECU fitted with wideband and decent oil pressure switch,
sight
sensor, and
things to keep it alive.
Bring it back to life because it went in, it got parked up originally because airflow meters died.
Okay.
And then bought some Nismo airflow meters for it. And didn't really realize that they're not actually calibrated the same as the normal one. So then you've got to have a Nismo ECU or some other ECU.
Okay.
And then when you buy another ECU, you don't need the airflow meters at all anyway, because map sensor. So the airflow meters are there just to
get
look
rid
original.
Of those mass airflows.
Well, they're still there, but just to look original.
Yeah, Kyle had, took my buddy Tall Kyle. You know, you've
I went out in his R32.
His 32 was so fast when he got done with it.
Yeah.
And he did ECU master, I think.
Okay.
Or maybe he did that on a different one. But there's a lot of options for 32s and 33s. You can do a lot of stuff, even with OEM ECUs.
We took it to the man who does Skyline, sort of close-ish to us.
Okay.
And that was quite a crazy experience.
What did it make power-wise?
502 and 420 torque.
Okay. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Standard engine. It was standard engine.
20-some PSI or something?
Yeah. It's got steel turbos. So the boost was 15 or 16 PSI, I think, or something like that. It was up there for one of those.
Yeah.
And then we had it back for a bit, and then it broke the ring land in number 6 because GTR engine things. And then I had to rebuild the engine.
Yeah.
Which is great.
they're cool engines.
Yeah, but it's a numbers matching engine to that
sort
of reasonably valuable car.
So you have to do it right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you can't window that block.
Nope.
No.
No, and it just started and it's back have a touch up on the map now.
So somebody's looking to sell it now, huh?
Yeah, I think so. We want to buy the workshop. So Nathan wants to sell it to fund that.
You can't get mortgages
on business premises.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, as it turns out, for small businesses, no mortgages are available.
How does anybody buy a building then?
Well, sell everything you own and get a business loan for the rest of it.
Refinance your house and all that crap?
Just whatever you've got to do.
Yeah, that's annoying.
But so far into it, we've buying the MOT bay and all the equipment that, like, if we don't, it's stupid.
Right. Yeah, gotta buy the building.
The MOT bay was 50 grand.
Yeah. Probably paying off, though.
It's nearly done.
Yeah, cool. That's a weird business. Like, that's a thing that I've never had to do. I know they do it here somewhere.
Yeah.
Not in Michigan, but they do a lot of states.
I'd imagine California's got
Got stuff like that. And like a bunch of states you wouldn't expect it here. Like, gotta go for inspection. I don't think it's as invasive as what you're talking about, but yeah. So. The other day you're working on EGs. You were at Chris Sullivan's house.
Yep.
Our photographer buddy. He's doing an insane resto on an EG.
Yeah. His is a bit more resto mod than mine.
It's so wild. What do you think of that car?
Oh, it's nuts clean. That's how I want mine, but without the wire tuck. And
that's a largely original car, too.
Yeah. I think it has had a little bit of paint. But
yeah, it's 30. I think the body was painted.
Yeah.
But it had it was a 30,000 kilometer car.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Came from Japan. An importer in Ohio brought it in. But our buddy Don had it for a while and then just didn't want to deal with the scope of the project. But
no, it gets pretty serious. It's a lot of work, so much work.
It's wild to see people actually going to that level. I mean, it's not going to turn into a track car.
No.
It's not really a show car.
No.
It's just going to be a perfect EG.
Yeah, that's exactly what
with
I want.
With a different engine and trans. Yeah.
My mine's going to stay B16.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got, luckily, Mike Taylor sent me some ITR bits from that stash of ITR things he got.
He bought a weird stash from a machine shop.
So I've got B18 main girdle and mains caps in it.
Okay.
Cam gears, springs, Type R cams.
Doing some stuff.
I did the head on it.
Do you what do you have machine shop wise? Because you started accumulating a lot of tools.
Yeah, I've got a full size mill now and my little mill and a lathe, full size lathe and a little lathe and a TIG welder.
Okay.
And pretty much everything, and the trading estate I'm on, there's a chap, all he does is build race engines. He's got a dyno in there.
Cool.
So he's been pretty helpful with valve guide running and stuff that I can't do yet.
Specialized little stuff.
Yeah.
No. The machine shop world here is getting kind of stupid. It's really expensive to do machine work.
Really?
$100 a bore to punch them out and hone them. Decking is a lot of money. You can spend $1,000 on machine work just doing a basic rebuild now.
Well, I think that GTR engine, including buying really nice Italia rods and pistons, billet pistons, they're on. The rings were so tiny.
Yeah.
It was so scary putting them in.
I'll bet. Break them things.
But I think that with the pistons came to $2,200.
To build it.
Yeah, well, for the machine work, the pistons,
machine work here,
hone.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who's got machine work that cheap.
Line board the mains, the whole thing, every surface.
That would be $2,000 in machine work here.
Oh, wow.
The machine work is getting so expensive because nobody does it anymore. We don't have all these little craft garages like you guys have. Every town in Europe, and England especially, has somebody that makes a sequential trans.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's insane.
There'll be something.
But yeah, we don't have that.
Which is odd, because I listen to... now I'm going to feel like an idiot.
V8 stuff, there's some pockets where the shops are so busy and big that they do it cheap. You bring something to a Chicago area machine shop, it's going to cost you, just to prep a block and overbore, it's going to be $800 probably.
Damn.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's why I just haven't built a motor for a while.
No, I just did a B20 for a friend of mine. Yeah. I think that was 350 to bore, hone,
deck.
That's not bad. So that's $400-ish, $410 maybe.
I think we're pretty equivalent right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, the exchange rate sucked when I changed up all my money to come over.
Yeah, you guys are getting hammered right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think the long-term Honda life for you is going to be? Just keep dinking with old cars like me?
Yeah, I think so. The EG, I'm never getting rid of the EG6. Right. That's definitely going to stay.
Just bring it up to the spec you want.
Yeah.
What about your race car?
I think I might get rid of that, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Kind of getting over the race car thing?
It's hard work, and I crashed it quite bad.
What kind of racing have you done with it? You've done hill climb stuff?
Hill climbs and sprints, mostly. I've done one wheel-to-wheel race.
Yeah? But what's sprints?
I guess...
Like time trial stuff?
Yeah, it's standing start.
Okay, eat Tim Levine pizza.
Standing start, one flying lap of the track.
Oh, cool.
Kind of deal.
Yeah, we do.
A bit like Black Hawk Farms.
We've done that at Black Hawk.
Yeah.
Hey, you've been at Black Hawk, right?
Yeah. The nicest.
18?
Yeah.
That was a fun... That place is such
amazing.
A good
amazing. It could be England, except for the weather and the mosquitoes. But I love that place.
Like, my favorite place to hang.
Yeah.
If this place had more trees, like in the paddock,
it would
be real similar.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, Black Hawk is like a state park inside. If you haven't been to Black Hawk and you're anywhere within 5-6 hours, you should try to go do a DE there.
Yeah.
It's up in the north side of Illinois, right by Wisconsin. But, yeah, super fun place. The standing start stuff that we've done, that's kind of like what Sprint is, though.
Yeah. Like, it was Andy that was running it, wasn't it, I think.
Yep, the sports car club that he works with.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's basically that.
The what are the sanctioning bodies like in England? Like, who do you run with? Are they big? Are they little?
I run with a little local car club. Mm-hmm. But those events sort of bleed in with other car clubs too to bring the numbers up and have a good field, because there's nothing less fun than having two cars in your class.
Right. Yep. Got to have a little bit of competition.
Yeah.
Is there a bunch of big national orgs too?
Yeah, there's like the main national, or like British Hill Climb Association.
Okay.
They run a national championship. But
how many events would be in that?
I'm not entirely sure, because I haven't got the money to go and play with the big boys. But I think it's 7 or 8 for the year.
Okay.
But some of them are split on 2 days, so one event might be 2 technically point scores for the championship.
What are the roads like when you're doing a hill climb? Real tight?
Yeah,
mountains? Hills?
It's only hills, because we don't really... Yeah. Like, wide as your car in a little bit. And tree-lined both sides, drop-offs.
Probably raining.
More than likely. More than likely.
Does have you ever follow that Hill Climb Monsters
Oh, absolutely.
That YouTube channel?
Yes.
Do they do anything in England? Are they follow
anything? Yeah. There was... I don't know if you've seen the Shelsey Walsh that they do. They have like a big crazy event up there every year, but I never get enough time off work to go anywhere that far.
Some of them seem like they get awesome spectator counts.
Yeah. It's even like the little club events get... this is going to sound bad compared to like Grid Life, but you'll get 100... odd spectators.
Some of them seem like they get
thousands.
Yeah.
But just like
it's pretty
rad club stuff.
Yep. Well, running low on batteries.
Oh dear.
We've got 40 minutes in. That seems like a show.
Oh, not bad.
What's your plans for future USA travels? Anything?
It depends a bit on work, because this is the first time I've made it over since the COVIDness and all the crazy work happened.
I gotta get over to you and take my wife there. She wants to go there.
Do
bad.
Do it. We'll book a day. Mike wants to come over again as well.
He goes all the time because his wife is from there.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a choice. Tina's the boss. So big time.
Yeah. But she is also the coolest boss ever.
Dude, what a rad person. What a freaking rad person.
If you do racing, that is exactly the sort.
Yeah, you got to marry Senna's ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Definitely. Legitimately, that's what she is.
Yeah.
She was Senna's ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, no, I know.
Or
Mike,
is Senna's
Mike
ex-girlfriend.
Did say.
It's pretty wild. I really need to get around the show and talk about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, maybe the next one we do, we should do it in England.
Maybe
I need to come over there. So
do it. There's a car there.
I need to apologize to Abe for not taking a break for sponsors, but he'll figure it out.
He'll work out. He can pause it somewhere.
All right, let's go do Hanami things, man.
Definitely.
Yeah, bud.
Bye-bye.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough, and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, and come and find us in the pits at a Grid Life to say hello.